Matthew 25. Matthew 25, if you will. Matthew 25. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, there's some mean people that just, they die early. Mean people die early. Me and my wife was talking the other day, you know, we was talking about these entertainers and stuff. Jerry Lewis just died, 91 years old. Laughed all the time. Man was probably lost as a goose in a hailstorm, you know, but laughed all the time. George Burns lived to be 100 years old. Smoked cigars, drank liquor every day, but he laughed all the time. All these old comedians and stuff dying off, but they were, they just had that merry heart. Amen? And so of all people, shouldn't Christians have a merry heart? If that crowd can have one, live to be 100, shouldn't we have one? Amen. And that's the grace of God, too, by the way, that let them live to be 100. All right, Matthew 25. I'm going to read you, most of you, it's probably pretty familiar, but I want to put a kind of show it to you in a different way, okay? Look at chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. That means they adjusted them and lit them. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so. Lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, Jesus was likening his second coming to a wedding. Now, their wedding traditions were a whole lot different than ours. They celebrated a wedding for like a month, you know. They celebrated a lot. And what he was saying was, here's 10 young ladies. They're part of the bridal party. And 5 of them made sure they were ready. And 5 of them did not. And he said because those 5 were not ready with oil in their lamps, therefore the bridegroom would not let them in with the wedding party. He even said he didn't know them. Now, Jesus is likening this to the second coming of Christ is what he's doing. But I want you to notice some things about this. First of all, the virgins represent the church, the body of Jesus Christ. And then the oil, that represents the Holy Spirit of God, God the Holy Ghost. And then the wedding is the rapture of the church. Do y'all see that? Now that's what Jesus was trying to tell. Now, there's all kind of ways you can look at this, but I want to break it down basically into 3 points. And I want to ask you a question. Whose fault is it when people are not ready to meet the bridegroom? Whose fault was it that these 5 did not get to go in? Whose fault was that? Alright. Now I want to show you something. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we'll witness everybody. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. There's none too low. There's none too high. every creature. We're supposed to witness to everyone. We're supposed to be a testimony and a witness. We're supposed to give them gospel tracts. We're supposed to... some of y'all folks, you go out to eat all the time, you ought to get some gospel tracts out of that rack in there and lay them on the table. If you'll wrap that money up in that thing, they'll pick it up. I do. When I go to gas station, of course, I don't hardly ever go in anymore, so I give them when I go in, but since I don't go in, I put them up there on those advertisements. If you've been to the hospital with me, you've seen me try to jam them behind something on the elevator. Everywhere I go. If I go to visit somebody and they're not at home, I leave gospel tracts. But what I'm saying is this, we have a responsibility, we have a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what we call the Great Commission, but I'd rather call it the Great Command. Now, we're not going to get out from under that command. No more than any others. Love you one another. But we're not going to get out of that, okay? So I'm not giving excuses for people to avoid being witnesses or giving their testimony or handing out gospel tracts or inviting people to church. But in the end, when the trumpet sound and the doors closed, these five virgins had to give account for themselves. They said, let me in. He said, I know ye not. And when the lost people stand before the throne of God, God's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. See? And so they do have a responsibility. We do to witness, but they have one for themselves also. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not going to hell if I don't witness. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. I won't get the reward I ought to get if I don't be a good witness. So I want to be a good witness. It won't send me to hell, but it will rob me of some reward. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So, and I ought to love people enough that I'll witness to them. That'll be the motivating factor right there. You'll love people enough. Amen? And I can say a lot on that, but let me get to my sermon. So whose fault is it when people go to hell? Now I tell a story about this fellow named Doug that I grew up with, and the Holy Spirit kept nudging me to go see him, and I never did do it, and it broke my heart, and it's on my mind right now. And I never preach about hell without thinking about him. As far as I know, he was not saved, and I should have went to see him, and I did not out of fear of him. I did not do it. I was a young Christian, young preacher. He intimidated me. I didn't go witness to him. And I tell that story. And yes, that's true. But in the end, was it my fault or his? Look at this passage of Scripture real quick. Verse 1 through 3. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Well, I preached on that the other Sunday, didn't I? Fool. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. In other words, they lived irresponsibly. They did not want to take time to fill up that lamp with the Holy Spirit. They did not want to take time to get ready for the wedding. Y'all see that? Now, five of them were wise. They took the time. They took the trouble. Now, let me tell you something. It's time and trouble to get saved. I've never met, maybe you have, and I wouldn't say you were wrong, but I have never met a person that got saved the first time they heard the gospel. Never. I've seen them get shocked, like I was the first time they heard the gospel. But see, God sent me, and there probably have been, but not that I've known. Because the ones that I've known, God's worked on them and drew them and worked on them and drew them and worked on them and drew them till finally He got them on their knees to where they could look up and be saved. That takes time and trouble to be saved. You see, for 23 years, I rode by church signs every day. By the way, church signs do not attract people. They don't care what, sinners don't care what you put on your sign. You can put family friendly. You can put rock band. You can put country music band. They don't care what your church sign says. That ain't why people go to church, because of a sign. They go to church because other people invited them. See? But these five lived foolishly. You know how they did it? They assumed someone else would provide for them in the end. They just assumed that someone else is going to step up at the last minute and they're going to give me half of their oil. Now, is that not the way lost people think? Sure it is. Sure it is. We have people come to this church, and every time they come, the Holy Spirit draws them, and they say, well, my mama is a good Christian. She'll take care of me. Or my wife is a good Christian. She takes care of the spiritual things. Y'all see what I'm saying? I knock on doors sometimes, and a man will come to the door, and I'll tell him who I am. He said, wait a minute, let me go get my wife. She takes care of this kind of stuff. And I always stop him and say, no, I won't talk to you. You're the head of the house, ain't you? And I always stop him try to witness to him. But you see, people that live irresponsibly like these young women here, they was having too good a time to be responsible enough to go get their own oil and fill up their own lamp and be ready when the bridegroom came. Instead, they just assumed there was going to be plenty of time and plenty of oil. It was never going to run out, and somebody was going to take care of them in the end. Is that not the generation we live in? I mean, that just described a whole generation of people in our country right there. They assume the government's going to take care of them. They assume that mom and daddy's going to take care of them. They assume grandma's going to take care of them. They assume daddy's going to do it or mama's going to do it. And they live irresponsibly. And one day mama's going to be gone and daddy's going to be gone. And grandma and grandpa's going to be gone. And their oil is still going to be out. And they're going to die and go to a devil's hell waiting on somebody else to fix it for them. Y'all see it? Now, look at it again. Five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They wasn't interested in spiritual things. They was having too much fun. You remember before you got saved, you used to tell the preacher, say, I'd say, I know some of y'all did too, when I quit doing this and I quit doing that and I quit doing that, and what you were really saying was, when I get too old to live like the devil because it's killing me, then I'll come get saved. That's what we were saying. We were saying, when my liver's gone and my heart's gone and my kidneys are gone and my lungs are gone, then I'm going to come let Jesus save me. Well, why would he want you then? You'd be wore out. But they just figure, I'll slip in right there in the end when I done smoked so much crack I can't breathe no more, and I done shot up so much dope my heart's racing so hard it's about to explode. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll call Brother Ron then, and he'll come down there at the hospital and he'll slip me in real quick right before I go over. They just living irresponsibly. These young ladies were the same way. They thought, I got plenty of time. I'm young. Youth is not guarantee of life. A lot of young people die. And besides that, what if Jesus comes before you do get it right? Maybe you don't die. Maybe the trumpet sounds. And you run around with your lamp and, man, that thing's empty. This lamp right here, this vessel right here, because the Holy Spirit ain't in there because you've never invited Him in because you've never been saved. And you live like, somebody else will take care of that. I'll get somebody else's oil. Boy, did you know, Grandma, are you a grandma or great-grandma? Did you know that God don't have any grandchildren nor great-grandchildren? All He has is children. Just because they're your children don't mean they're God's children. They must be born again. See, God don't have any grandchildren. Just because you got saved don't make your grandchildren saved. That girl will have to get saved. Hey, just because you got saved don't make your brother saved or your sister saved or your wife saved. You're going to have to get saved yourself. And you can't wait till the trumpet sounds and grab them by the feet and go up with them. And that's what they were doing. They was waiting. They were waiting. They were having a good time. They were partying. Hey, no, preacher, because at midnight they couldn't find them. Amen. If they'd been my daughters, they'd have known where they were. They'd been at my house. Amen. Midnight. I wouldn't let one of my children run around at midnight, especially. I mean, I better get off of that, hadn't I? The first thing they did is they assumed someone else would provide. So is it our fault that they go to hell? Is it mama's fault they go to hell? Is it daddy's fault they go to hell? Brother, sister? No, sir. They assumed that somebody else was going to give them what they needed at the last minute, and they even called on them. At the last minute, give me some of that. Nope, can't do it. If I give it to you, I won't have enough. And they took off. Amen. They went to the wedding. And these five girls was locked out. They were locked out, man. Now, that's the way most sinners are. But what's, like I said, there's a whole generation like that. You know what we need to do every once in a while? We need to look at our kids and say, no, I'm not doing that for you. I'm not doing that for you. You need to learn how to do it yourself. Because mom and daddy ain't going to be here forever. We got 40-year-old children now. 40-year-old children. Somebody should have looked at that boy when he was 12 and he fell off his bicycle and said, boy, it's all right to cry, but get back on the bicycle. You're not quitting just because you fell one time. Get back up on that bicycle. I'll help you. I'll push you off or something. I'm so proud. My grandson, Rich, you know, the little old thing, it surprised me that he could learn how to ride a bicycle because he talks continually, and I don't know who he talks to while he's riding that thing. But I had to run. I wore the old man out. He asked me to take the... He said, take them train wheels off, Papa. So I took them off. And I'd have to run up and down that dirt road holding the back of that seat. I'd say, you got to let old man rest. I can't breathe. He said, come on, Papa, I'll do it again. Do it again. And I'd push him, and he'd take off. At first, he'd go a few yards, and he'd wreck. He'd get back up on that thing. He wanted to go again. He wrecked. He wanted to go again. He even found out, since he didn't know how to put on brakes, he could just jump off while it was falling and run. He let the bike go. I had to teach him how to put on brakes. But he needed that. Now, his mama wouldn't have done that. Every once in a while, you ladies, if you got a daughter, you need to look at her and say, I'm not fixing that dress for you. You need to learn how to do it yourself. I'm not cooking that for you. You might get married one day and that man might want to eat. You need to do that yourself. I wait for what for my wife. My mama cooked for me. Amen. My mama ruined me. My mama should have said, come over here, boy, I'm going to show you how to cook an egg without burning it. Or make some toast without burning it. But look here. They assume somebody else is going to provide what they need. Now, if you're looking at politics nowadays, let me tell you something. I watched that crowd, when was it, last night? Arizona. Half of them, I looked at most of them people that was throwing stuff and cussing. They was carrying ugly, nasty words on signs and stuff. And most of them was young. And I thought, if that boy had a good job, he wouldn't be able to be out here at midnight carrying a stinking sign with cuss words all over it. He'd be down there at the house thanking God for a job, sleeping, getting ready to go to work tomorrow. Amen? Amen. And I don't know who let the daughters out. Irresponsible. They assume somebody else is going to do it. And by the way, then when you don't, they get mad at you. I better hurry up and go on. Look at verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, while the bridegroom tarried, all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Now, these young ladies right here, they were responsible for themselves. They weren't irresponsible. They were responsible for themselves. Look, they took oil in their vessels. Look at verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, what'd they do? Slumber and slept. Where was the other 5? It was out running around, partying, having a good time. And then these wise ones slumbered and slept. And then whenever the trumpet trumpeted, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. They arose, they lit and trimmed their lamps, and they headed out the door. And as they went out the door, those little hussies, the unwise ones, they showed up and they said, give us some of that. We're going to go meet him too. And they said, not so. You can't share what I got. Now, I can't share the Holy Spirit with you. You'll have to get him yourself. Amen. Amen. I can tell you about him, but I can't share half of him with you. He's all me and all mine. Amen. And so I want you to notice that they were these ones. They demanded help. They demanded help from the wise ones. They said unto the wise, "Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out." They didn't ask. They demanded it. Now, foolish people will demand things from those of us who know the Lord. See, they can't get a prayer through, so they demand you to pray. Yeah. See, they can't be faithful to church, so they demand that you do it. See, they can't live a Christian life, so they watch you and they demand that you live perfection, and they'll watch every little mistake you make, and they sure to point it out because you got to be perfect, because in the end you got to help them in. Y'all see what I'm saying? They'll call you hypocrite and drop the hat. Yeah. Yeah. They demand that you live the life, you walk the walk, you talk the talk, you be filled with the Holy Spirit, you read your Bible, you go to church, you dress right, you talk right, you behave right, because they ain't going to do it, but they're going to watch you, and you better do it because they're counting on you to get them in, see? They demanded it. It just shocks me what sinners demand of the church now. They'll show up out here at the door with their hand out, won't come to the services, wait for the services to be over, and then stand out there, Brother Rick, and say, y'all got to help me. Y'all got to help me. And when I was younger, that just guilt tripped me so bad. I tried to help everybody. And look, I told y'all about that, and it stood out there until church was over, and we went out the door, and he had a phone. His dealer called him 3 or 4 times while he was standing there talking to me. And I told him that too. I said, we're not giving you any money. Your dealer's called you 3 or 4 times while you're standing here talking to me. Oh, but my car's broke down up at Winthrop. I gotta get some gas and put in my car up at Winthrop. I said, well, why are you way down here? How'd you get down here? And who told you to come to this church and get the money? Lying rascal. But see, he'll guilt trip you and say, well, I thought y'all was Christians. I say, you wouldn't know a Christian if he run over you with a pickup truck. You don't know what a Christian is. You ain't never read the Bible. Ain't that what they'll tell you? I thought you was a Christian. If you was a Christian, they don't know what a Christian is. Tell them, say, oh, I didn't know you read the Bible. I didn't know you knew what a Christian was. You got to read the Bible to know what a Christian is. And by the way, it takes one to know one. I didn't know you was a Christian. Amen. Boy, they'll try to guilt trip you and embarrass you. I've had them put stuff on that Facebook, Cornerstone Baptist Church Facebook page, saying bad things about the church. You know, they came down here one time, wouldn't nobody help them and all this stuff. And I just, hey, I done figured I'd do all that stuff. I just delete and block. Delete and block. I can't give them my oil. They got to get their own oil. And they got to quit blaming everybody else and take some responsibility for themselves. You mothers and you sisters are worse than anybody else. They'll put the guilt trip on you. And boy, they know how to play a woman. They know how to play her feelings and everything. They'll put that guilt trip on you. And listen, we'll do everything for them. And you know what we're doing? We're hurting them more than we help them. We need to let them find their own oil. You know how they're going to find it? They're going to have to hit the bottom. They're going to have to hit the bottom because you ain't going to look up until you get all the way down. And when there ain't when there's no else place to go, no place to go, you're far down as you can go, then you'll look up and say, Lord, help. Old Peter stepped out of that boat. He started walking on that water. And that pride got him. He started sinking. I can hear him now. Lord, help! Got to let them sink, folks. We got to let them sink. And it hurts. It hurts to see your children sink. It hurts to see your grandchildren suffer because your children's too sorry to get right with God. It hurts. But you got to do it. Because when you're dead, who's going to help them? You're not giving them all. You're giving them flesh. That's all you're giving them. You're just giving them your flesh. You're not giving them the Holy Spirit. And you can't give them your spirit. So you're just giving them flesh. What was that old song? Work your fingers to the bone. What do you get? Bony fingers. Bony fingers. Y'all remember that song? You bunch of worldly Baptists. But that's what you do, and we'll work. Could you see those wise virgins taking their pole lamp and trying to line it up with that other lamp and spilling it and dripping it everywhere, you know? No, sir. They said, I'm not going to do that. I got what I need. You go get what you need. Amen? You know, sometimes desperation causes people to do good things. I've had, and y'all may know it, you may not, I've had two men I've let spend nights at this church because they got to the point where they had nowhere to go. They had nowhere to go. And they could blame it on anybody they wanted to, and two of them did, but one of them didn't. He said, preacher, pray for me, I'm in a mess. I put myself in this mess, nobody else has done it. And I blame so-and-so, I blame so-and-so. And if you just give me a place to sleep for a few days, I'll work it out. And I did. And now the Lord's took that boy and he's took care of him and he's worked on him and he's fixed him. Now, I didn't rescue him. I didn't give him any money. I didn't buy him a car. Didn't do none of that. I just said, all right, you can stay here and, you know, there's water, there's a bathroom. You know, don't run all the lights. Don't run the air conditioning. You know, you can sleep in there on the floor on one of these pews a few days. I'll check on you. I'll help you find a job. I'll help you get in touch with people that help you. And I did. I helped him get in touch with a ministry that would help him find a job and everything. But the point I'm making is this. I couldn't give him what I had. Now, I could get him to people that could get him what he needed, help him get what he needed. And that's the same way with these people. Now, he didn't demand anything. One of those men ended up turning on me and talked bad about me to people in his church, all over his church. And I let him live here for about a week. Yeah. I couldn't help him. I'm not calling names. Some of y'all would know him. I know Rudy would. but you see, we can only go so far. And unless they get born again, nothing's going to change. Don't let people guilt you. Don't let people demand you and shift that. Well, you know, if you'd been a better mother, look at him and say, look, I'm saved by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm doing the best I can. If you can do any better, go find someplace else to get it, because I've given you all I got. This is it. Well, if my daddy had took me fishing. Oh, shut up. There's a lot of men grew up being good Christians and never went fishing a day in their life. Some of them, like me, never even met their daddy. Don't even know his name. Just stop that blame shifting, and they do it, and they do it, and they do it. And if we let them get by with it, they'll defeat us. And like drowning men, they'll take you down with them. But I love you. If you love me, you'd help me. I do love you. That's why I ain't helping you. Come on, help me. Oh, man. Let's get that last one. Look at verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Too late. Lost. Because of irresponsible living, they were lost. And the door was shut. Now he says over in Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There's a stopping point that God will strive with you. And when he does that, then you're over in Romans chapter 1. You'll have a reprobate mind. Reprobate mind means you couldn't believe if you wanted to. You can't believe anything now. You'd go join the Unitarian church, the Universalist church. They don't believe nothing. They don't believe nothing. Everything's okay. And so see, what it's saying is that the wise ones, they went, while the unwise went out to buy, the wise were at the marriage supper. And the unwise ran and got them some oil, and they come back and they said, let me in. He said, depart. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. And a lot of people, even in our churches, and there's probably people come to this church right here who have never been born again, but they think because they go to church and they ride our coattails and they ride our good works and they ride our prayers and our songs and our Bible and our preaching, our teaching, they think, I'm going to hang around here, but I'm going to keep one hand over there, and one day when the right four trumpet sounds, I'm going to let go and I'm going to get in. And they're going to be surprised. They're going to come to church and there ain't going to be no church here. Amen? They're going to go down there to the cemetery to cry over mama's grave because they treated her so bad while she was living, and mama ain't going to be there. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is, what is that word? None of his. There ain't nobody going to slip in. Nobody's going to slip in at the last minute. If Christ, Revelation, I forgot my verse. forgot my verse. But anyway, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him and he with me. Revelation 2:19, I'm not sure. I can't remember my verse. But let me tell you something. If he ain't in there, you're not his. And some of them's going to say, but wait a minute, preacher, I got baptized. Yeah, but that's not what he said. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. Now, when people will not get saved, when people die and go to a devil's hell, whose fault is it? It's not ours. We loved them. We witnessed to them. We tried to be an example. It's their own fault. Don't you ever let one of your kids or grandkids or somebody look at you and say, well, if you'd have been a better Christian, I'd have been a Christian. Say, look here, son, you don't have to answer for me and I don't have to answer for you. I've got the Spirit of Christ in me and you better get Him in you, because God's not going to ask you how good a Christian I was. He's going to ask you, are you a Christian? We can advise. We can instruct. We can witness. We can love. We can encourage. But they must make ready themselves. I love my children, love my grandchildren. I pray for them every day, three times a day. I pray for my children, my grandchildren, three times a day. And boy, I want my grandchildren saved so badly. My oldest one is, Olivia, I baptized her myself. What a blessing. And I'm praying for the others that they'll get saved. But I can't save them. I can love them. I can advise them. I can be a good witness. I can be a good testimony. I can help them along the way. But when it comes right down to the end, Mama, it's not your fault. Daddy, it's not your fault. Grandma, it's not your fault. They had to get in. They had to get ready on their own. They can't blame it on anybody else, just like you couldn't blame it on anybody else. A lot of people live with regrets about their children, their grandchildren, husband, wife. Quit that. Quit regrets. Hey, live for God. Do the best you can. Pray for them. Love them. Advise them. And then in the end, you can't save them. Only God can save them. Sometimes people come to me and they say, Pastor, you remember me? I said, no, I don't. They say, yeah, you saved me. And usually they're in a mess when they say that. Yeah. I tell them, I say, I can't save you. Only God can save you. I can tell you how to be saved. And that's my duty. But I can't save you. Now, I'm preaching this for y'all. And by the way, some of the people who need this most ain't even here. And they live with guilt, because these people lay the guilt on them, buddy. And they live with bad nerves and everything else because they're worried to death about these loved ones going to hell, when in the end, there's not a thing you can do other than pray and beg and be a good witness and live a good testimony. And in the end, they're going to have to make the decision you cannot make. That's why, listen, and don't get me wrong, I've seen people at church go down the aisle and grab people and bring them down the aisle. I wouldn't do that. Now, if you want to do that, it's fine with me if you think it's good, but it ain't good. If anybody had done that to me, I would have went just to get them off my back. Don't do that. You can't save them. And it's not your fault. The trumpet's fixing to sound. Is your lamp full of the Holy Spirit? If it's not, only you can receive the Spirit of Christ. Let's stand. Father, thank you.